the heck was that?
The Vikings lost to the Lions. They gave them their only win on the season, the lowly Lions. Boy, howdy, do I have thoughts. And I am very excited to share them with you here on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
Ooh-wee!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off into math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at LukeBraunNFL. The show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Thanks so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. Holy crap, the Vikings lost to the Lions. We didn't know if it was possible, but we proved that it was. Look, okay, every Vikings fan in the whole world knew that this was, like, it felt probably more like it was a coin flip than that the Vikings went into this as touchdown favorites, because all they do is blow easy things. This is supposed to be an easy thing, and all the Vikings ever do is wet themselves when they have an easy task in front of them. It's just who they are. So let's go over all of the bits and pieces. But first, in case you missed it, a quick blow-by-blow of the game to see how we got here. And the first half was an absolute catastrophe. The Vikings actually sprung out to a 6-0 lead on two field goal drives that were pretty unfortunate field goal drives that, of course, feel like larger than life now that the Vikings lost in yet another close game. But then the Lions stormed back. There was a turnover. There was another long drive. They end up going up 20-6 by halftime, including two separate scoring drives that scored in the final 2 minutes. One that started on the other side of 2 minutes. This is a big long drive where the Lions went down, kicked a field goal. Vikings failed. Went for a 4th and 10 a little bit into Detroit territory, like the Detroit 40-ish. Didn't get it, gave the Lions easy field goal position, or easy field position where they could just like get a couple first downs and get another field goal. So they gave up 6 points within 2 minutes again, and 20-6 at halftime, and we're all just kind of waiting to walk into the ocean. And then they kind of claw their way back in, giving us hope once again, as they always do. The Vikings kick a field goal. It's 20-9. They get a touchdown. It's 20-15. They went for two on that. We'll talk about that in a second, but they didn't get it. So it was 20-15. Lions kick a field goal 15-23. So now the Vikings are down 8. They score a touchdown. They go for 2 to tie it. They don't get it again. So they're down 2, 21-23. The Vikings score yet another touchdown inside the 2 minute warning as the game is coming to a close. They go up 27-23. They went for two a third time, didn't get it again. We'll talk about all those, put a pin in that. And then came, I think, the drive that ends it for Mike Zimmer. I think when you look at the entire body of work with Mike Zimmer, you talk about, oh, the 2017 championship, that one time the Bills beat them a couple years ago, you know, all the collapses and stuff of this year and last year. I think this is the one that tears it. I don't know how you come back from this other than running the table and making the playoffs. Jared Goff and the lowly Lions, worst team in the league, get the ball, 1:50, no timeouts on the 25-yard line after a kickoff. And they go down the field in 14 plays. Now, this is a hurry-up drive in 14 plays and score a touchdown off of a 4th and 2 with like right at the buzzer as time expires. That's it. That kills the Vikings. It's the build's over. And here's why I say that. Because Mike Zimmer, I think, is personally responsible for how that drive went. I don't blame the players very much at all, except for a few key things. You know, you wish Bashaud Breeland hauled in that interception. But for me, dropped interceptions are pass breakups, and pass breakups are good plays. It's a cliche I say a lot. The end of the end play was, I think, a mix of credit between Cameron Dantzler and Xavier Woods being late to his read, which I'll explain also in more detail later. You can find little individual things. This player messed that up. This player messed that up. But here's really the overarching problem, because they shouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. The Lions get to dink and dunk their way down the field with ease. And the reason is because I think the fact that the Lions had no timeouts completely broke Mike Zimmer's brain. And Mike Zimmer and clock management have never been the best friends. And I think a big problem with Zimmer's clock management, at the root cause of all of it, is that he overvalues seconds. He just thinks time is more valuable than it is. And so he's always trying to kind of use up that time of possession and chew up clock and stuff in all these different situations. And in this one, they basically played a very off, I would call it a prevent defense. And I usually say, you know, bad defense isn't prevent in the 2 minutes. Like, don't just call everything prevent. But I do think this was kind of a prevent defense. Everybody played way off. And so you kind of get this strange dance where both teams are okay with like a 9 yard completion inbounds. And tackled inbounds, and the clock keeps running because the Lions are fine to hurry up, right? They have a minute 50. They've got all the time in the world. And for some reason, the Vikings think that that clock's going to run out if we make them hurry up and get to the line often enough. So the Vikings spent so much of their effort ensuring that clock would run. They did not spend a lot of effort ensuring that the Lions wouldn't move down the field. And so you end up giving them the ball with like end zone shots with like 27 seconds left. They got like five-ish plays that could have feasibly been an end zone shot. And that's just too many plays. And then eventually they're going to find one where they make a mistake and they killed the rest of the clock and that was it. And that baffles me because you're up against Jared Goff. Now, if you're up against Peyton Manning, I'm sure, right? Maybe see if you can't entice him to take too many underneath things. If you're playing against Kirk Cousins, it's perfect. Because Kirk Cousins will take those underneath things all the time, and he doesn't get to the line very fast, so that's always been a thing. They called the perfect defense against themselves, but against Jared Goff, he didn't have to make any throws. You essentially took Jared Goff's performance out of the equation. That's great if you're against a good quarterback. You want to take that guy, you know, you want to make it irrelevant if that guy was good or bad. But when it's Jared Goff, you don't want it to be irrelevant whether or not Jared Goff played well. And in that last drive, it was irrelevant whether or not Jared Goff played well because they were backing everything off. They were keeping everything in front of them, trying to tackle well. And at a bunch of times, the Lions got out of bounds anyways because the Vikings play a man match defense, which essentially is some spatial rules to decide who you cover, but then it's man coverage. So that means if there are vertical routes on one side of the field, that'll clear out the sideline. You don't have another guy just waiting at the sideline. And a crossing route over the middle, which, by the way, is a good way to beat man coverage anyways, the guy can just kind of gleefully jog out of bounds and stop the clock. So the Lions got a ton of clock stoppages that way. And on top of all of this, Zimmer never he's sent a blitz twice in that whole thing. And in fact, he blitzed Jared Goff less than anybody else has blitzed Jared Goff, including the last time the Vikings played them. That was the least blitz Jared Goff had. And it was the first time in a while that the Lions have scored more than 20 points in a game. Like, blitzing the Lions works and the Vikings didn't do it. And I don't understand why. It seems like every time the Vikings go up against bad quarterbacks, this goes back to the Cooper Rush thing, which I wanted to fire Mike Zimmer for too. So I'm into it now. When faced with like an easy wide open receiver, they just expect the guy to, I don't know, try to eat the ball instead. But that doesn't happen. And it's the Vikings who look like they're pissing themselves because they're losing to the worst quarterbacks imaginable, guys you've never heard of, or Jared Goff in the winless Lions. That's the first win Jared Goff has ever gotten without Sean McVay as his head coach, and the Vikings gifted it to him on a silver platter. So yeah, they deserve to lose, they deserve to have the house cleaned, and they deserve every single ounce of crap they're gonna catch for losing to the lowly Lions. I want to circle back to some of those other things that I mentioned. I want to talk a little bit more big picture, so let's get into that. But first, quick deep breath. Let's talk about how we watch TV, because it can get really annoying with all the logins, all the different things. If you want to watch something live, that's a whole deal. You want to watch something on demand, that's a whole deal. You got to sign in, you get too many screens or whatever, too many logins. You forgot your password, you got to do forget. It's like a whole to do. Instead, check out DirecTV Stream and get your TV together. That is a great way to consolidate the way that you watch TV. All your live and on-demand favorites all in one place. And you can learn more about that at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. One of the big narratives coming out of this game is going to be about the 2-point conversions. Those don't bother me that much, to be honest with you. They, I think, are fine decisions. The plays were bad, and we'll talk later, probably later in the week, about what happened on those plays to make them fail. But I don't mind the idea of going for two in the situations that they did, except the last one was a little confusing to me, but it also was like, didn't matter. Let's start with the first one though. Vikings down 20-15 after scoring a touchdown. So they can either kick an extra point, it can be 20-16, or they can go for two and try to make it 20-17. So they tried to make it a clean field goal deficit instead of a 4-point deficit. I think that's fine. it was like in the middle of the third quarter, and you know, going for two in the middle of the third quarter, a lot of analytics people will say that like it doesn't really matter, it's kind of a coin toss at that point, you know, until the clock becomes a factor in the game, whether or not you go for two or an extra point to cut a deficit or whatever, in most situations is a coin toss, because there's so many different scoring scenarios. You know, somebody could get a field goal and then there's another touchdown the other way, and then that one goes for two, and so there's all these weird scoring scenarios, and basically once you've untangled all of them, it ends up being a wash. So whatever. But if you don't want to just listen blindly to the numbers that say it's a meaningless decision, I sympathize with that. And think of it this way. We begged Mike Zimmer to be aggressive. If you ever said like Mike Zimmer's conservatism is holding the Vikings back, right? If you ever had that take, you can't turn around and then say, why did he go for those 2-point conversions? You wanted that. You wanted that aggressiveness. You want him to go for more points and be aggressive and trust his players and all those other cliches that we hear all the time about Mike Zimmer. You got to take it when it doesn't work. Otherwise, you can't ask for that. So I'm okay with that because I want him to be aggressive in those situations. If you think about it again, next time he's down 5 in the third quarter, I kind of want him to be okay with going for 2 again because that can really work out. But what ended up happening was the Lions kick a field goal. That turned a 5-point deficit into an 8-point deficit. And then when the next touchdown the Vikings scored made it 21-23, they could go for 2 to try to tie it. And that's a no-brainer. Of course you want to tie the game. It's the fourth quarter. So they go for that. They don't get it again. And then the next touchdown the Vikings get makes it 27-23. And then that one, I don't quite understand why they went for 2. The broadcast liked it, but Jay Feely's comments on this whole thing were baffling to me. So I don't want to listen to that. But I guess they wanted to make it a 6-point deficit instead of a 5-point deficit because the difference between 4 and 5 is negligible. But I disagree. This situation didn't come up, but there's a really, really bad punish there if you end up going for it and missing it and being only up 4. Basically, if the Lions scored their touchdown faster, the Vikings would have had a field goal drive on the way back, and that field goal drive would have tied it. But if they just took their damn extra point, the field goal drive would have won it. And I think that's the only time the scoring situation ever comes up. So that was a really confusing go for 2. I don't really see a scoring situation where a 6-point deficit or 6-point lead is advantageous to you, except the situation where I guess they missed the extra point. And I guess Riley Patterson's the kicker and the Vikings cut him. So maybe they just thought the kicker was so bad that playing for the missed extra point was right. I don't know. That one confused me a little bit, but it also didn't matter a ton. Like, you got to get the stop either way. But I don't mind the extra points really at all. But I do mind the plays themselves that were that were executed, right? They had Brian O'Neill fell on his face on one of them. They had all this razzle-dazzle on another one for a run inside that didn't work. Like, there were some things that went wrong. I want to kind of defer that conversation for another day. But generally, I liked that Mike Zimmer was aggressive in this one. It just didn't work out. And if there ever was a time to bring out your most aggressive stuff, it's not the game where you're a touchdown favorite. That's the time to play conservative, right? But there were other conservative times. Like, the first half, the Vikings offense was insanely conservative. The first 2 third downs that they had, they threw behind the sticks on both of them. One of them was a tunnel screen that ended up injuring Adam Thielen. He has a high ankle sprain, which is a lingering injury that's probably going to mess with him for the whole rest of the year, if not just knock him out for the whole rest of the year. And then another one was a kind of a now route to D.D. Westbrook, and he got tackled for -3. The Vikings are kings of going backwards. They also had another sequence in this one where they get a holding penalty and then a false start and then a negative run all in a sequence. Just three disasters where they go from like a 2nd and 6 to 3rd and 20. And you're like, how did this happen? And then, of course, the kind of conservative philosophy that led to the defense at the end of the game, which I've already complained about a lot. So there was still conservative moments in this one that I think cost them that, but the aggressive moments didn't. And I guess I want to make sure that we keep those things distinct and we don't kind of learn the wrong lesson from a game like this. I got to talk about the quarterback, though. We got to talk about Kirk Cousins, right? That's important. And then I think a little bit more like big picture stuff. So let's get into that in just a second. But first, it's the holiday season. So grab a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar. Built Bar is always covered in 100% chocolate, filled with holiday goodness, and you get the best of both worlds. They're high in protein, low in calories, sugar, net carbs, and fat, and they are delicious. You get the health, you get the deliciousness. There are so many flavors like raspberry, mint brownie, cherry, double chocolate, cookies and cream, peanut butter brownie. Those two are my favorite. They give you that extra fuel you need to deal with, let's be honest, all of the holiday stress. The holidays are going to exhaust you and you need something to gas up. Tell Santa to throw a few Built Bars in your stockings. Dip a Built Bar in a hot cup of cocoa. There's a little pro tip for you. And I think that works best with the marshmallowy kind. Built Bar Puffs. They're light, fluffy, and marshmallowy through and through. Different flavors, all still covered in that delicious 100% chocolate. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off of your order. That's promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, all one word, to get 15% off of your order. I also want to talk to you about Gramblin. BetOnline's live betting apparatus is awesome and fun, and I love it a lot. So here's what I did on this game against the Vikings. I bet Lions +7 because, of course, what's a game without a little emotional hedge? And then, of course, the Lions sprung out to that 20-6 lead. At that point, BetOnline's live betting thing, which updates the spread like moment to moment, had the Vikings at +7. So then I actually was able to place money on that and had the Vikings +7 and the Lions +7 at the same time. So I couldn't lose both bets, right? It's impossible. And if the game were within a touchdown, which of course it's a Vikings game, I win both bets, and that's what happened. That is an awesome way to get in on that live betting. They also have props. You can bet on pro college football, bowl games, basketball, hockey, MMA, whatever. Just head on over to betonline.ag. When you make your first deposit, enter promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Whatever your first deposit is, they will match half of it just for entering the promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag, where the game starts. Once again, thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. And let's talk about some Kirk Cousins. I want to get through this kind of quick because I think it's a pretty simple Kirk Cousins game. He was very conservative at the beginning. He figured it out in the second half, but obviously that wasn't enough. And it's yet another one of those games where I don't think you would primarily blame Kirk Cousins for losing the game. After all, he did kind of bring them all the way back into it, but you also wouldn't, like, they didn't win because of him, but they didn't lose because of him. And that's sort of the frustration and the way that people like to put it. And I think that's kind of apt. Where he made too many mistakes, and I can't say this for sure, so I reserve the right to go back on this once I've seen the tape, because sometimes it turns out, oh, nobody was open or whatever, but I think he made too many mistakes in terms of holding the ball or checking down in the wrong place to like be able to say that the Vikings lost in spite of Kirk Cousins. There have been games where the Vikings is like lost in spite of Kirk Cousins. It'd play a really good game, but they lost in spite of it. I don't think this is one of those. This was one where it was like, I would call it like an ups and downs game, but the ups were really awesome. I mean, he got 2 touchdowns, he threw over 300 yards and stuff, and like those plays happened. And the big thing was Justin Jefferson had a monster game. He had 14 targets, which is insane. 11 of those were caught for 182 yards. One of them's a score. An absolutely fantastic game for him. I want to get into some big picture stuff too, but really quick, let's go back to the last play, the final touchdown. So I think I know what happened on that coverage. People were wondering why Cameron Dantzler was playing so far off. So what happens is Amon-Ra St. Brown just runs a quick little, quick in route. And it was kind of a timing thing. Basically you had Cameron Dantzler playing what was supposed to be man coverage on Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then you had Xavier Woods, poaching it from the inside or robbing it from the inside, whatever you want to call it. But basically his responsibility, Woods' responsibility in that coverage, I'm guessing a little here, is to read 2-1 or to read inside to outside. Basically, he needs to help in the middle in the seam first, and then he works his way outside if that help is not needed. And Mackenzie Alexander covered like a post that went away from the seam. And the second that Mackenzie Alexander's man went too far inside to be out of Xavier Woods's like jurisdiction, I guess, he needs to move and break on the Amon-Ra St. Brown route. He was late to do that. And then Cameron Dantzler needs to be in man coverage on Amon-Ra St. Brown. And he's got to be hip to hip with that guy. He needs to be in Amon-Ra St. Brown's pocket. Now, my guess is that his coverage was more responsible for outside and deep, like he was going to cover like the fade or a corner or something like that. So he was sort of cheating it a little bit, but he cheated way too far, gave up way too much cushion. And so you ended up with an uncontested catch for the final touchdown with 8 in coverage, no blitzes, no pressure, no nothing. Really, really frustrating stuff because both players had to make a mistake to enable it to be that easy. And it just sucks. You know, Jared Goff's not a good quarterback and you made it easy for him. You made it so he didn't have to be. But let's do the big picture thing that I've been teasing. So here's the thing. There's a lot of talk amongst like Vikings media. Like I know Purple Insider talks about it a ton. Purple Daily talks about it a ton. A lot of other Vikings podcasts talk about this a ton, which is kind of why I stray away because I like, you know, I don't want to just repeat what they say, right? But there's a lot of talk about like purgatory, right? About being stuck in this hell of mediocrity. That's not what the Vikings were. The Vikings weren't stuck in a hell of mediocrity when they were, you know, on the cusp of the playoffs all the time, when they were, you know, when they won the division in 2015 and 2017, and then they went to the playoffs again a year later. That's not being stuck in media. This is hell. This is what I think people are talking about when they talk about purgatory, losing to the Lions. But that's not mediocrity. That's just bad. Mediocre is not a fancy word for bad. The Vikings are bad. And they are in a situation now where to become not bad anymore, they have basically, they need to hope for a miracle, or we're going to have to get real patient. It's bleak. The Vikings are stuck in a bunch of albatross contracts, right? You've got the big Anthony Barr contract with Dalvin Cook, Harrison Smith, Adam Thielen, and then, of course, the big Kirk Cousins one. So you've got all these big contracts. It makes them top heavy. You can't have depth. And by the way, the lack of depth, of course, hurts the Vikings. They're missing a ton of players in this game. And you could probably use that as an excuse, but I think that only excuses so much. But, you know, you're missing Barr. You're missing Kendricks. Of course, you know, no Griffin, no Hunter out for the year. They did get Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson out, but no Patrick Peterson. He's on the COVID list. No Dalvin Cook. Adam Thielen leaves after that tunnel screen. That high ankle sprain happens on the very first drive. So, like, that's a lot of the big names. Like, I think it must have, like, a half of their salary cap was inactive for this game, which really sucks. But that you have half of your salary cap tied up in all your major players, therefore, you kind of have to have, like, rookies and second-year players be your depth, and you better hope you hit on those draft picks. Like, of course, you know, we kind of see what happens. You get kind of paper thin, and then the Vikings become a team that can't beat anybody, right? If you can't beat the Lions, you can't beat anybody. So to get out from under all of those things, it's going to take a while. They can't just do that this offseason. They can't just rip off a bunch of Band-Aids because they'll eat a crapload of dead cap, essentially sinking the year. So if you're going to sink the year, you might as well keep those guys for the year, and then it'll be a little easier to cut them next year. And what do you do about this Kirk Cousins thing? And ultimately, what do you do about coach and GM? And from what I understand, the Vikings are basically, if they turn this around, they run the table to make the playoffs, then Zimmer and Spielman aren't getting fired. But if they end up, you know, where it seems like they're headed, they're going to be, what, 7-10 out of the playoffs, like comfortably, then I think you're cleaning house, right? And if you clean house, you basically are deciding, before you decide anything else, you're deciding who your GM is, you're deciding who your coach is, right? And maybe we'll do a little later, we'll do who those candidates could be and, you know, interesting names and stuff. But if you're doing that, then that's two new people with absolutely no attachment to Kirk Cousins. They're going to start shopping him, trade him to Pittsburgh or to Seattle or whoever, you know, wants to take him on, right? So now you have a new coach, a new GM, a $10 million dead cap hit, probably a bunch of rookies starting and a bunch of albatross contracts you're trying to get out from under on, like, aging players. And if you get rid of them, you still have to replace them, which you probably can't do that year because of all the dead cap you're taking because of what you took from all those contracts. So basically, unless you absolutely nail a draft, you're going to be in a rebuilding year in 2022. I think most people understand that. But if you're in a rebuilding year in 2022, then 2023, you're just now coming out of kind of the pits. That's the last year of Justin Jefferson's rookie deal. And we've just kind of wasted all this time. I don't mind trying to compete if you think you can compete, but it really sucks to have to take a rebuilding year because it went that bad. But I guess that's what the Mike Zimmer, Kirk Cousins, Rick Spielman era of the Vikings was. It was up and down. You know, you see a middling record and you think, oh, they were eh. But the Vikings, they're good. They're just stupid. If they can get out of their own way, they could be a good team. But they can't get out of their own way. And God, that's disappointing. Especially because it's going to lead to now a situation where unless we absolutely crush a draft, unless Sam Howell is surprisingly the greatest quarterback to ever come out of the draft, now we have to wait for years to be able to enjoy the Vikings again without having to force ourselves to enjoy losses. That sucks. And I'm not looking forward to it, but you know what? I'm going to be here for it. And I hope you'll all join me too. Tomorrow, we are going to do a Twitter Tuesday. I might have a little theme in mind, so keep that in mind. But if you have other questions, still send them to me at Locked On Vikings or at Luke Brown NFL on Twitter. Send an email to lockedonvikingspodcast@gmail.com or fill out the form. I'll get around to them later if I don't do the theme thing. Otherwise, we'll do a regular one. But otherwise, send me your questions. I will see you all for that tomorrow. In the meantime, check out the Locked On Bets podcast. Get your grambles straight. And as always, skull.